Beginning of verse 63. Then the high priest rent his clothes and said, "What need we of any further witnesses? Ye have heard the blasphemy. What think ye?" And they all condemned him as a guilty of death. And some began to spit on him, and to cover his face, and to buffet him, and to say unto him, "Prophesy," and the servants did strike him with the palms of their hands. Verse 23. We're welcoming also Barbara. The master is there, and the phone, she's with us, even though she's away. So if she wants to call or comment, we do that. All right. What just took place in verse 62 to get the background? Where was the Lord Jesus at this time, and who else was there?
The Garden of Gethsemane.
Garden of Gethsemane. He went from there.
He's before the high priest.
Before the high priest. And in verse 62, what did the Lord Jesus proclaim when they asked, "Who are you?"
Well, no, he asked, "Art thou the Christ, the Son of the Blessed?"
Yes.
That was the high priest that asked.
All right, and what was his answer?
I am.
And then in verse 62, what else did he say, the Lord Jesus say in verse 62?
What else? I am the Son of Man.
I am the Son of Man.
On the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven.
And then verse 63, we're in Mark 14:63, Barbara.
Antoinette.
Thank you. Okay, bye. Mark 14:63. So when the Lord Jesus said that, they were looking for how many witnesses in preceding verses.
It was three witnesses, wasn't it?
Two or three witnesses.
All, would agree.
But could they ever find that everybody could agree with the witnesses? Mark 14, verse 63. And when the Lord Jesus said he's going to see the Son of Man, because he's the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven, in verse 63, what did the high priest do, and what did he think of that?
He rent his clothes.
Now, what was that a sign of, the rending of the clothes? A mourning, that's right. And what questions did the high priest ask? Yes, Pastor Dan.
What need we any more witnesses?
Okay.
When need we any further witnesses or witness?
Why did he say that? He's looking for something that's... Why do you think this was... What do you call it? Well, verse 64, he said what? What did he call it?
He felt that the Lord had blessed him. But
his last name?
The Lord, that was the problem.
Yeah.
He didn't understand.
Yes, go ahead, Barbara.
He didn't need any more witnesses to the stars. He was concerned Christ had condemned himself.
That's right. Christ had condemned himself. He didn't need any other further witnesses. And remember Pastor Dick Wade, who was here last time. What did he say about the Son of Man? Remember he gave that evidence? What did he say about the Son of Man? You remember? What did he say about this, the Son of Man? Our son, Dick Wade.
Last week.
The Son of Man is referring to his deity.
Yes, remember he said it was in the book of Ezekiel, Daniel. I believe, or Daniel.
Daniel,
that's right.
7:13 and 14.
And he said that he often thought it was just the humanity. Well, sometimes people think Son of Man, Son of God, but he said it refers to deity as well. So it's interesting. So this was true. He rent his clothes, and what needed to be further witnesses? Then verse 64, you've heard the blasphemy. What else did the high priest then say? What questions did he ask these others who were gathered here?
What think ye?
All right.
What's knowing everyone else
then? That's right. Whatever else was there, all the people are gathered. And in verse number 64, the last part, did they agree with the high priest for this blasphemy, or did they disagree? What did they do? Yeah, Pastor Dan.
So they all condemned him. Guilty of death.
So they agree this was blasphemy, and blasphemy in the Jewish background was death, the death sentence. And so thinking he was guilty of death and blasphemy in verse 65, what did some of them do at that point?
Spit on him.
And what else did they do? Well, what did the Lord Jesus do, apparently? What did they do? That's right. Second thing. They began to spit on him, and they began to what?
Cover his face.
And what's the next thing they began to do?
I was just going to mention something about what like what Joe was talking about last week.
Mm-hmm.
Because based on the context, without reference to the phrase "son of man,"
mm-hmm.
in both in Mark and in Daniel,
mm-hmm.
See one like the Son of Man come in the clouds of heaven,
mm-hmm.
and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. It's clear
mm-hmm.
that he is.
Just a minute.
He's more than just a name.
Just a minute. You're right.
He's deity.
He's deity. That's
true. Based on the context alone.
Right. Context alone. Yes. Hello.
This is Bob Schofield in Portsmouth, Virginia.
Oh, good, Bob.
Listening in.
Glad to hear you.
And I have a comment about the verse that we're looking at right now, verse 65.
Okay, Bob.
And it says they spit on him and buffeted him, which is punch, slap. Him with a hand, that's personal.
That's what?
That's quite personal. That's very personal.
Very personal.
That's very personal to do that. If you punch somebody in the face, that's very personal.
That's exactly right. That's good. Well, that's fine. I appreciate your comments from, what were you saying again?
Portsmouth, Virginia.
Virginia. Very good. Well, that's way up to, your first and last name of what again?
Bob Schofield.
Bob Schofield.
I saw you when you were down here about a month ago.
Oh, very good.
Yes.
Bob Schofield. Very good. That's good. Thank you, Bob. Let's wave to Bob Schofield there in Virginia. That's very good. Thank you, Bob.
Did you see Fanny Crosby?
Did you see Fanny Crosby and wife Ashley? Bob Schofield. Yes, I don't know why I didn't remember that, because Schofield's not a very proper name, or a common name, is it? That's good. It was very personal, and they slapped him and hit him, covered his face. But buffet, what does buffet mean?
Slap or punch.
Slap or punch, that's right.
And he just called about that, didn't he?
What did they ask him to do, Lord Jesus, to do? After they spit on him and slapped him?
Prophecy.
That's the prophecy, all right? What does that mean, to prophesy?
Tell the future.
Tell something that's not known.
Tell something that's not known, that's right.
In most instances, sometimes
and 1465. Yes, and why do they say to him to prophesy? What do you think? Why do they say
he covered his face? His face was covered.
You all right?
He covered his face, and then they buffeted him.
Mm-hmm.
And so who is it to hit you?
Now, does it say this here, or is it another
gospel? Well,
verse here.
The verse 65. We're verse 65, aren't we?
Yeah.
65. The servant gets back when the father had that struck him. But I think in the other gospel.
Spit on him and to cover his face.
That's true. But what I'm saying is, prophesy. See, in other gospel, I believe, it does say that it's who smote you, right? But it also says it's not Mark, right?
That's here. Prophesy.
Matthew 26:68,
saying,
prophesy
unto
us, thou Christ,
who
receiveth
smote
thee. That's right. But it's not here in Mark, is it?
No.
It's not here.
No, but it says cover.
Well, no, it's covered his face, but...
No, it's supposed to say, it seems to imply that they covered his face.
Yes, well, that's right.
So he couldn't see.
That's true.
I think it's just in a different order here. Because and some began to spit on him and to cover his face and to buffet him. We already buffeted him. And to say to him, prophesy.
But you see, the question I'm saying.
Oh, what's the question?
The next other gospel she Barbara brought up in Matthew,
mm-hmm.
it's clear. Prophesy and then say, who hit you? His face was covered. Who hit you? See? So who hit you?
I guess
you meant.
I guess
not in the mark.
Said, who hit you?
What's the question?
I missed the question.
Well, I was saying.
It says, the servants just.
It does not say, if your face is covered, they slapped him.
Okay.
And in the other gospel says, who slapped you? Tell us who slapped you. Your face is covered. You can't see if he can really do that. But it doesn't say that, who hit you, who slapped you. In this gospel, that's all I'm trying to out.
It does say prophecy. And then it says, and the servants did strike him with the palms of their hands.
Where does it say, tell us, Jesus, who is it that hit you? Where does it say that in Mark?
It doesn't.
That's what I'm pointing out.
But
it doesn't say it in Mark. It does say it in Matthew. Why can't we understand that? Simple as pie. Simple as pie. I'm not denying.
We understand,
say strike
but
you.
It means the same thing.
What means? What means
why
the same thing?
Why are we getting mad at this?
Because we've got to understand.
Answer understands.
Sure.
It's just Tammy,
what means the same thing?
They're basically asking him to answer who.
No, it doesn't say who smoked you. It says prophecy in a general life. It doesn't say who smoked you.
Okay, no.
Doesn't say it all.
Never mind
then. It's not implied, but in Matthew it's clear. That's all I'm saying.
Where's the verse in Matthew at? I'm sorry.
Barbara, where's the verse in Matthew?
Matthew 26:68.
That's clear as anything. 26:68. Well, because you're saying that you said, who smoked you? It doesn't say who smoked you.
I didn't say that.
Someone said.
There is a prophecy.
No, that's not who smoked you. That's not who smoked you.
Well, that's what he's asking.
No, no. But the question is, in the other gospel it says, prophesy and tell us who smoked you on the face.
Okay.
It's not clear. If you think prophecy is involved, that's secret, that's cover, but it's not clear. It is clear in Matthew.
Oh, what's
different? Well, I think it's clear
in Matthew.
Yes.
Everybody saying the word is prophecy. The word should be pronounced prophesy.
Prophesy.
They want him to tell. His face is covered. They hit him. They want him to tell forth.
Yeah, prophesy.
Right.
Hit him.
Exactly. Prophesy.
Right.
Yes.
Prophesy. Yes.
Well, it doesn't say in Mark tell who hit him specifically.
No. Yeah. I'm saying that.
Prophesy. That's good.
Yeah.
Prophesy.
And tell forth.
Tell forth. That's right.
So they are telling him to tell forth. His face is covered. They are asking him to tell forth who hit him.
Yes, even though it doesn't say so. That's right.
Right.
That's
Pastor,
right. Yes, I answer that.
Pretend this is the face. He's going, prophesy. Yeah, yeah. Go ahead, prophesy.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like that's what they were doing.
Yeah. But anyway.
That's my voice.
What?
No,
it was a demonstration.
Well, I'm just trying to say it's not worded in Mark.
Man, that's what it means. Now,
I know, but
that.
I just want to say it's not worded in Mark.
You're really shook up already.
Honey, the facts are the case. This is the Bible.
We understand.
You can't say.
We can see that.
Well, then don't say that in Mark. It says, it does say in the other Gospels, self tell who smoked you, but it doesn't say it in Mark.
We agree.
We'll just
prophesy. Period. It doesn't say it in Mark. Specifically. Right or wrong?
We never
said that. The actual wording isn't there.
Yeah, that's my thing. Does the actual wording occur? Yes or no?
But in the context, that's what he said.
Well,
we're saying prophesy.
Well,
when somebody says to you, prophesy, what does that mean,
Pastor?
It's
not specific. It's not specific. It's not worded. That's all I'm saying.
What does it mean?
What is that?
What does it mean if somebody says
well,
prophesy or hidden?
Look at the other Gospels, you can see that's probably what it does mean, but it doesn't say specifically in the words.
That's true, that's too, right. Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
Counts.
It doesn't say it here, but it does say it in Mark, it may say it, I mean in Luke, it may say it even, I mean in Matthew, it may say it in Luke, I'm not sure. All right, so having seen all this there, and the verse number 65, let's go to 66, 67, 68.
Yeah,
yes, yes, yeah, go ahead, Barbara. And as Peter was beneath the palace, there cometh one of the maids of the high priest, and when she saw Peter warming himself, she looked upon him and said, and thou also wast with Jesus of Nazareth. But he denied, saying, I know not, neither understand I what thou sayest. And he went out into the porch, and the cock crew. All right, verse 66. Where was Peter?
He was underneath the palace.
Beneath the palace.
Special.
And what happened when he was there near the palace where all this was taking place? Apparently?
A maid comes up.
Okay. And one of the maids of the high priest.
High priest's maid.
That's right. And what did she see when she approached Peter? What was he doing? After that?
He's warming himself.
Warming himself? And what did she say to Peter?
She
What did she ask?
She made a statement.
What did she say then, all right?
She said, you were with Jesus of Nazareth.
All right, that was a declaration. She said that. In verse 68, what did Peter respond to that question, to that statement? You were with him.
I know not. And I don't understand what you're talking about.
All right. What does it mean to deny something?
Just like that says.
What does it mean to deny?
To deny something.
Well, I don't know. What does
it
mean?
Negative.
It's negative, all right. It's not true, whatever it is. Whatever you said, I don't believe it. And what did he say before when he was with the Lord Jesus Christ? What did Peter say? Though all may deny thee, I will never deny thee. Mm-hmm. Gary denied that he was with Jesus. Went back on his word. And then what happened to Peter when this maid made this statement? Where'd he go?
I don't know. She saw him again all by himself.
All right. Well, where did he go in verse 68?
I don't know. Out onto the porch.
Okay. And then what happened?
Right there,
after that?
This is the cock crow.
Now, what's the significance of the cock crow? How many times was it in the various Gospels that the cock was going to crow? How many times?
Thrice.
Was it? How many?
I'm not saying.
How many? How many?
The cock was going to crow three times.
Honey, it's not thrice. Twice. Two times. And what was going to happen to Peter? How many times would Peter die?
He would remember that Christ had told him during the Last Supper that the cock would crow twice.
Mm-hmm. And thou shalt deny me?
Thrice.
Right?
Right.
That's right. So three times.
So, so when Peter heard the cock crow twice, then he realized, he remembered
right.
What the Lord had told him.
But the phrase cock crow twice is not in all the Gospels, but it is in one of the Gospels, so we know that it was twice it crowed. And so this was the crowing probably the second time, because what happened then after the cock crew? I guess we haven't read that yet. Okay, cock crew. Let's read 69, 70, and 71. And they saw him again, and began to say to them that stood by, this is one of them. And he denied it again. And a little after, they stood by, said unto Peter, surely thou art one of them, for thou art a Galilean, and thy speech agreeth thereto. But he began to curse and to swear, saying, I know not this man of whom he speaks. 5 verse 68, what did Peter say when you were with him in Galilee? We did read 68 before, yeah, we did, didn't we? In fact, no, again, verse 69, how many times, well, I'm not sure who it was, but what happened in this verse here? What did the maid find out? What did she say about that? What did she see?
She saw Peter.
So I'm, again, now I don't know whether it's the same maid. I won't go understand that again. What can that be?
Sound like the same
man. Sound like the same man. It says I'm a, but it could be the same man.
Saw him again.
Yes, so maybe
she
someone
saw him one time.
One time is already. All right, saw him again. And what did she say? What did she tell? Here's his stood by. Anna, go ahead.
This is one of them.
Well, if you look at Matthew 26:71,
mm-hmm.
It says, and when he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him and said, also unto them that were there, this fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth.
Mm-hmm. And
so I think it was different maid.
Different maid, yes. It seems like there were three different individuals. But anyway, this one, she said to some other people, and a little after, they that stood by said again, oh, go ahead, we're still 69, for 69. So what did this maid do then after she saw him? What did the maid do?
She recognized that he was one of them.
That's right.
He was one of the disciples.
In verse 69, what did she one of them, and who did she tell that to?
The authorities.
What did she tell to?
The authorities.
them that stood by. See, all those who were out there, see, this is one of them. What does that mean? One of who?
A disciple.
One of the disciples, that's disciples or apostles, right? And in verse 70, what did Peter do when the maid asked him again?
In verse 70,
he denied it again. Right? And so that's, how many times is that denied?
Two times.
And that same verse, a little later, what happened? Verse 70, a little bit later. What happened then?
The crowd was saying to him, surely you're not one of them.
That's right. David stood by, said, surely. Then Matthew, Mark, and Luke, we had different ones, made in this relation, but they surely not one of them. Why did they think he was one of Petra's
men? Because they surely are the Galilean. Because the way he was talking, he sounded like he had a specific, maybe Galilee has a specific accent, or distinguishing accent. Other like, people could say that that's why they thought he was Galilean, because he was talking like a Galilean.
Like in our world today, we have different people talking in different accents. Can you give me some examples?
South Jersey.
What is that?
South Jersey.
South Jersey has a certain accent.
What
else?
What on earth are you talking about?
Yeah. What is it?
Are we really in South Jersey? What's going here?
I don't know. What what did you say, Bill?
Southern
talk. Southern talk, Southern accent, that's right. And if you go, for instance, if a Spanish person comes to the United States, he speaks English, but you can see there's a little bit different language. And different sound, different dialect, different accent. So this is the same thing. By speech betrayeth thee, agreeth thereto. Speech agreeth thereto. Galilean. Now, not necessarily that he was with Jesus, just because he was a Galilean, but that was one of the earmarks that he was possibly with Jesus. We read 69, 70, did read 71, I think, right? Yeah, we did. What did Peter do after this third person, or third individual question? What was Peter's reaction?
Cursed and swear.
Now, that's really sad, isn't it? Should we curse and swear regardless of what happened?
No,
it's a. Why do you think he cursed and swore?
He was scared.
And he was scared? What might happen to him if he was one of them?
He was afraid that they might punish him.
Could be, he might punish him. But the cursing and swearing, what does the scripture say about? For Christians today, about swearing. That's right. We should not curse, not swear. Even before a court, we say I affirm, but we don't say I swear. It's tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but truth. I affirm. That's what the Christians today do. It's interesting that the court system in our country, at least, has said, will you swear or affirm? They put either one, because they know that Christians are not going to be swearing. When I was in the court, and I was asking, I said, I will affirm just like that. If that's
sometimes they do that. Sometimes
yes.
They affirm.
Sometimes they said in there, but I know before I was there, they did.
On that topic.
What is that?
You said, you were saying they seem like they always do it. When your instance you're talking about? The example
my instance.
Your instance, okay.
And I heard also on the TV recently, one of the things you swear or affirm, somebody's taken to court, and so whether they do it all the time, who knows? But many courts.
I was preparing for something I heard recently, too.
Was that, but did they say it there?
Maybe all the individuals there.
What was that?
Maybe sometimes they give notice ahead of time if they're going to swear or affirm, and then if everyone is going to swear, then they don't need to say the other.
I didn't get that memo, I don't know. So anyway. And it could be true if
there
was.
What did you hear?
Well, this was for the 115th Congress.
Mm-hmm.
They have different levels of so-called swearing in, certain levels. And yes. Different levels. One level they did swear for affirm, maybe at the top or level, but then maybe after the bigger groups, they dropped the affirm.
Yes, that's right.
But maybe you heard differently than I heard. I don't know.
Well, as I say, I don't know everything. All I know is many courts, if not all, certainly. If you've heard it, they didn't do it. That's for the swearing-in ceremonies of our Congress. What was it, 125th Congress? What is it?
115th.
Okay. And so the clock Now, just read, have read
yes,
chapter 2. Yes, go ahead.
Is there a positive when you, like you were talking about somebody being sworn in to an office? Well, wouldn't that be something that is, like, for lack of better explanation, like a righteous form of being sworn into an office politically? Wouldn't that be correct? Wouldn't that be, like, not something that's negative or bad or wrong?
Yeah, well, in that context, another meaning for the word swear.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Well, that's why using affirm, different ones, that would be a positive. I do affirm that you'll tell the truth. It's positive. You really, well, it's negative. It's a positive. You affirm that you'll tell the truth, the whole truth. Yes, I affirm. I will tell the truth.
It's funny. You said that they when did they switch that word to affirm?
Well, no, it's not switched. When I was in court, and other people that you hear on television in court, that you swear or affirm that that you want to say is the truth, whole truth, nothing but truth. That's the swearing in or affirming ceremony. That's all. And so,
thank you.
Yeah, that's what, as I said, I have been in court before, and that's what I prefer, is the affirm. And many times I say, now when I was in the court, they didn't say, do you swear or affirm? They said, do you swear? I said, I will affirm.
Yeah.
I had to add it, so they don't always do it.
That's
but
right.
Back then, years ago, whatever it was, I had to do it myself. You have that, pal?
Yeah. I was just going to say the same thing. If they say, I swear, then you can say, I will affirm.
I will affirm. Yes, Barbara?
It's standard procedure that when a clerk swears in any witnesses anymore, she says, do you swear or affirm?
That's the general thing right now, is that it?
Yes.
Yeah, that's what I thought too. Okay. But, so, let's read. We stopped at 70. We did read 70.
We stopped at 71.
Let's read 72 together. And second time, the cock crew, and Peter called to mind the words that Jesus had said unto him, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. And when he thought thereupon, he wept. That's right here, this gospel.
That's it.
Yeah. It's not in some. I was in Florida, in a Methodist church situation. I guess I was in my mother's house, and the Methodist pastor came to visit us, and he said, where does this King James Bible get the firm cock crow twice? That's not any of the gospel. He was upset about it. I said, well, all I have to do is once the gospels, the four gospels are not always exactly the same. They had this, they had that, and it's a picture of what happened. So I remember that, but here it is. Now, the second time the cock crew. This is the second time, for once the first time, and verse number 68, and then the second time, verse number 72. So right here, Mark, it gives you the first and second crowing of that cock. What timing does the cock's crowing indicate? Anybody know that?
7 in the morning.
What is that?
6 in the morning.
6 in the morning? Why did the cock crow twice then, Barbara?
Okay,
well, that's all.
It's a watch, it's also a watch in the McCoy. The cock crow is also the name of the watch in the morning. But it was absolutely definitely in the morning, and it was probably 6.
Yes. Eva?
And then Barbara? Sometimes earlier than 6.
Sometimes earlier than 6. All right, Barbara? I mean, excuse me, Antoinette?
Yeah, a friend of mine has a farm in Cumberland County.
Mm-hmm.
Roosters that live across the street, and they're crowing all the time.
Yes.
Morning, noon, and night. Yeah.
That's because of
New Jersey. I think at night they calm down, but during the afternoon they'll crow.
So I'm
just printing that up.
Yeah,
I'm
Jersey.
Sorry.
Yeah. Oh, New Jersey Roosters. Yeah. That's
interesting.
Is that fascinating?
They crow when about.
Yeah. Yeah, I've heard of them crow more than.
Well,
I mean, in the context of being in the morning time, unless it's a different one.
Yes.
I mean, I'm not going out to take attendance if who's crowing or not, but it seems like the same rooster's allowed to crow more than once a day if you want
to. That's right. Bill? You said that?
No, I was just thinking, well, maybe the roosters that are still crowing are just hungry, that's all.
That could be.
Yeah, that's true. Nothing about them, maybe.
You know, they don't have much of a brain, so. You know, instincts say, I want some food.
No, I don't think that's how people call them. The birds chirp
I know this is birds in general, but the birds chirp when the sun begins to rise and just before it begins to set. So I would think it would be the same with the rooster.
That's for me.
I don't know if he makes the cock sound at night.
I see. What's that? In Persians, number 72,
it's possible that there may be something that's unique about Middle Eastern roosters, but for them to cock twice would be an unusual thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so to make the statement he's going to cock twice, maybe that in and of itself is a unique thing, but maybe that's not the unique thing. The sad thing is his denial, not the number of times the rooster's going to cock.
Yeah, Bill and Bob, and Anna.
Jesus knew that the rooster was only going to crow twice at that time. There may be days when that rooster crowed a lot, but he knew because of his omniscience that rooster was going to crow only twice.
Yes, at least on the second time he crowed, they crowed, many later, third, fourth, fifth, whoever, that Anna.
Well, the idea was that it wasn't a very long period of time.
Mm-hmm.
And Christ was telling Peter, well, before the next morning, or more specifically before the cock crow twice, you're going to do the Mount Sinai three times.
Mm-hmm.
It was giving a time frame.
So Peter did have remembrance of that, didn't he?
Yeah.
It's amazing, see. Bob?
I think there's only one rooster per flock. I think that's right.
One more rooster per flock?
Only one rooster per flock. Someone should look up this up and tell us.
One rooster per flock?
Yeah,
rest of their hands?
Per flock. I think so.
Okay.
Because he's a head man. Like, right. I don't know what they do with the baby roosters. They don't give them.
Anybody know that? All right.
The baby roosters, they probably have to go start their own after they become grown up.
That's good. They start their own flock. Yeah.
Maybe the farmer puts them out other places. I don't remember.
It could be. Now, notice this. It's amazing tonight that Peter called to mind. Strange. Now, what was involved in calling to mind? What two things were involved that he called to mind? Had to remember. What two things did he remember? Number one? What's number one? After that?
What the Lord Jesus Christ has said.
All right, but what did he say? What's the number one thing he said? First thing he said, the Tammy.
The cock was going to go twice.
That's the first thing.
And then.
Second thing?
Before that, he's going to deny him three times.
Deny him three times. So now, Peter, if you remember that, I wonder what Peter's conscience felt like when he hears he's denying him three times.
He was upset.
Probably be upset. God. You know, he probably thought, well, the Lord knew ahead of time. As Bill said, by his omniscience, that this was going to happen. And I hope he was ashamed of himself.
I think he was.
I think he was, yes.
He was afraid.
Because after he remembered that, what did he do when he thought about it?
He wept.
And I think another gospel will say, wept bitterly. It's a terrible situation. He knew he was a denier, but he understood. What would the weeping indicate as far as Peter's?
Repentance, guilt,
sorrow.
Godly sorrow.
Godly sorrow, yes.
Regret,
that's right. So, it's something, when you and I sin against the Lord, when we realize that, we should, or I think all of us do, or we should regret what we've said, what we've done, whatever. And so Peter was regretful, and he made a mistake. Now, some people don't think they ever make a mistake, so they never regret, they have any of the regrets. Even though they make 100 of them, they're all right. I think, for instance, our president, Tammy has something. Even our president, when he says, keep your doctor, keep your plan, not only that, but you'll be cheaper, it'll be $170 cheaper, the whole thing. I don't think he has any regrets, or anything he says, but some people do have regrets. Yeah, Tam?
2 Corinthians 7:10, for godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of. But the sorrow of the world worketh death. So it was more than just sorrow.
Yes.
It was more than regret, because Esau regretted and he gave away his birthright.
Right.
And he couldn't find that repentance. So
right.
The difference of God is so and
God is so. What was it, Barbara?
I was returning my car to the parking lot.
Okay. All right, so God is very important. He thought I'd quit. Any other comments or questions on chapter 14 before we move on to 15? All right, if not, let's read Mark 15, 1, 2, and 3. And straightway in the morning, the chief priests held a consultation with the elders and scribes, the whole council, and bound Jesus and carried him away and delivered him to Pilate. And Pilate asked him, Art thou the king of the Jews? And he answered and said to him, Thou sayest it. And the chief priests accused him of many things, but he answered nothing. Why, verse 1? What does straightway mean? That's that?
Immediately.
Bill? Yeah. Okay, immediately, absolutely. There's a church that we spoke in one time called Straightway Baptist Church. I forget where it was, but that's the name of the church. Straightway Baptist Church.
Mm-hmm.
But immediately, what time of day was it?
Morning.
In the morning. And what were the chief priests doing? What are they doing in this first verse? They held a consultation. Who was at the consultation?
Elders and scribes.
Elders and scribes.
The whole council.
What council was that?
Okay,
the chief priests. The Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin was what was the Sanhedrin for? What did they do in the Jewish Sanhedrin? What was the purpose of
it? The court system and the law.
And what did they do in the morning with the consultation? After that, what did they do? The whole council. What else did they do in verse number 1?
They bound Jesus.
Carried him away.
Delivered him to Pilate.
Who was Pilate? What was his? Your question, excuse me, tell me.
If the Romans were in charge of the law, then wasn't this more for a religious law?
Type of court? Yeah, the Sanhedrin. I think religious law, yes.
As opposed to the law of the land, that would have been the Romans.
Yes, that's right. The Romans would be in the secular. Sure, let me see what we got here just a minute.
Mm-hmm.
Hello?
Hello, Dr. Wayne.
Yes, who's this?
Yeah, Jonathan Novak.
Jonathan from Philadelphia. Okay, Jonathan, go ahead.
Yeah, okay. I heard this commentary, and I think it's true that there weren't any farm animals, roosters, chickens allowed in the inner area around in Jerusalem around the temple.
Uh-huh.
That the cock was referred to as the night watchman who would come around in different watches of the night. And when the cock crew, that was the end of the third watch. That was a very specific time, just before the priest got up. He would go and announce loudly, so the priest would say, oh, okay, it's time for me to get up and open the doors of the temple and go in and start setting up for the day.
Uh-huh. Okay? Well, that's good.
So that cock crowing, that was a very specific time. And it tells you exactly what time, and then the next verse 1 says, immediately after that, they went into the priest and whatever.
Yes, very good, Jonathan. Let's wave to Jonathan from Philadelphia. Thank you, Jonathan. Appreciate that. All right. So, in the morning, that's what they decided. Here we're going to Pilate. Now, what was Pilate's duty? Come in.
Hi.
Good to see you. What was Pilate's duty? I forget who had heard your name, is it?
Oh, yeah, I'm Rob. I've been here 13 years ago.
Yeah, I'm Rob. Well, come on in. Yes, come on in. Anne will give you a card. They're a business card, maybe.
Thanks.
Yes, sit right now. We're back Mark chapter 15. That's right. John, your name is Mark, is it?
Rob.
Oh, Rob, I'm sorry. Okay, fill that out. Here's a pen. Pastor Dan's going to give you a pen.
Thanks.
Welcome.
Where do you live?
East Windsor.
Oh, that's pretty far.
Is it Connecticut or?
New Jersey.
Oh, New Jersey. Well, I got to know where is it?
200 miles closer.
Oh, my. Closer than
near Princeton.
Near Princeton. Okay, good. Good to see you, Rob. We're in Mark chapter 15, verse 1. Who's Pilate? What's Pilate do?
Pilate
What is this? What is this race? Probably. What's this country?
Roman.
What is the citizenship?
He's probably Roman.
Probably Roman, and probably was a Jew.
No.
Probably not. Yes. Yes, Barbara. That's right. Okay.
And basically, for this entry and in his life, that he was a procurator. He was.
All right. So he was a Roman official of high rank. In this case, he's one that. Yeah, but Anna, go ahead.
Okay. Finish your song.
In this case, he was the one in charge of the trial of the Lord Jesus, wasn't it? The trial of the Lord Jesus. Oh, yeah. Anna, go ahead.
Well, so the rooster, I'm going back to the rooster. Remember.
All right, right back to the rooster.
But couldn't the rooster have been out? Does anybody know how far away you can be and hear a rooster? Because aren't they kind of pretty loud?
Yes.
So the rooster could have been outside the cordoned off area where the roosters weren't supposed to be. The rooster could have been outside of
that
area.
That could be, absolutely.
And you could have still heard him, perhaps.
Right, that's right. All right, so he was in charge of the Lord Jesus Christ trial. All right, the first,
Do you think there was more than one rooster? Because it sounds like it's one rooster, but it seems like there have more roosters than one rooster.
Well, it's whether a cock crew or the cock crew. If it's the, that's with one, but if it's a, there's more than many, I suppose. We're not sure.
Or the crop.
Are you talking about in this specific instance or in general?
In this instance.
I think it's the same rooster.
It says the cock.
It's
cock
crow.
Probably the same rooster.
Same rooster crow. Peter heard the same rooster crow twice.
Probably was outside the area, which is fine. I can still hear crowing. I can hear a lot of things from a great distance, across the street, across the block, different routes. So that was in then. Chapter 15, verse 2. Rob, you with us? Chapter 15 of Mark, verse 2. Okay.
Mark 15.
And what did Pilate ask the Lord Jesus? What did he ask him in verse 2?
Lord, thou the King of the Jews.
King of the Jews. And what did the Lord Jesus respond? How did he respond? What did he say?
Right.
Better than? What was it?
He said, thou sayest it, or you're right.
What does thou sayest mean?
Sure, that's right.
Yeah, Robert, in Mark chapter 15, now in verse number 2. Mark 15, verse 2. And what does thou sayest mean?
That you're right.
Is that an affirmation or a denial?
Affirmation.
That's right. Thou sayest it. Did the Lord? Yes, Barbara.
And Luke, when they took him to Pilate, they began to accuse him, saying, "We've done a thing of polluting the nation and forbidding to give tribute to Caesar, saying that he who said is Christ the King." And Pilate answered them, saying, "Art thou the King of the Jews?" And he answered him, saying, "Thou
sayest." Yes, thou sayest again.
What?
But they had been accused of being the King of the Jews. That's why Pilate was asking the question.
Yes, that's good.
What chapter?
Thou sayest it.
Luke 23, 1 and 3.
All right. So the answer here, thou sayest. In other words, he agreed. Then in verse 3, what did the chief priest do then? What did the chief priest do then in number 3?
The chief priest accused him of many things.
Many, many things, different things, all kinds of things. What does it mean to accuse? What does accusation mean?
You suggest that someone has done something wrong, you're perceiving to be with the people. Then the accusation perceived to be wrong.
All right, accused. When somebody's just talking to somebody, said, "Did you go down the street today?" Would that be an accusation?
It depends on the tone.
It depends where you see that.
It depends on the tone of voice.
As they say in North Jersey, they say they ask yous.
They ask yous, yeah. Accuse. Yeah. But, you know, if it's just a calm situation, did you go this? You sound like it. But accusation is, and it said, it's against something that's really bad, am I right? You're accused.
Right.
When you said, did you read your Bible, is that an accusation?
It could
be. Did you read your Bible?
Depends on how it's said.
Depends on how it's said.
Well, I mean,
that's
did you it. Read your Bible?
Yeah.
Like, what
are
you not?
In most instances, you think you would think it would be an accusation.
Probably
with that. Yeah, Barbara, you have something? Yes. We have gone from the Sanhedrin, which is Jewish, to now the other group higher, who represents Rome. We have gone from the religious to the political. What they have done is accused him of treason. That was the death sentence for them, which is what they were asking. They were asking Rome to do to the Jews that they could not.
Usually an accusation. Yeah, Pastor Dan.
I'll finish your thought.
She finishes.
I was going to make a comment about her comment. But you,
oh, go ahead. Go make a comment.
I mean, so to follow up on what Barbara was saying, there is the thing is, and so I guess the Jews, were not supposed to have officially have a king. And so here, the Lord Jesus Christ, Pilate asked him, are you the king of the Jews?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't think that wasn't the question.
That's probably good. That's probably good.
Art thou the king of the Jews?
That's right.
And so that's why it was coming before Pilate, because the Jews were kind of speaking out of both sides of their mouth.
Yes.
Sorry, Tammy.
There'd be two kings.
They're speaking out of both sides. On the one hand, they want to get him for blasphemy, and well, mm-hmm. really they want to get him because they don't like him.
Yeah.
Now they don't care for whatever reason they get. They want to get him for any trumped up charges.
Mm-hmm.
But yet, in order to get it before Pilate, he has to be able to commit some crime of the state.
Mm-hmm.
Crime of the state here. He says he's. They're saying, well, he is, but they're saying that he's king of the Jews, and so that's why Pilate, he's involved at all.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I suppose.
Verse 2, I'm not sure if the Lord Jesus, I mean, he's just giving him a quick answer. He's not really answering him, because mm-hmm. if he was answering him, he'll explain it, but he knows he's not going to understand, so he doesn't bother trying to explain.
No details.
Because the whole point of the question, like Pastor Dan said, is an accusation against mm-hmm. him. And so he says, that's what you said?
Yeah, that's what you're saying. That's possible.
So he's not really saying yes.
Yes, you're right.
I mean, he knows what's coming, he knows what's ahead, and he can't try and convince anyone of something they don't want to be convinced of.
He might say it this way, thou sayest it.
You know, answer the question. Are you the king of the Jews? The answer is yes or no.
Yes, that's true, but it could be.
And Jesus said to a group on here, I think that is a question that to Pilate.
Exactly.
And the responsibility on him to answer if he was king of the Jews.
Yeah, thou sayest it, that's right. Then in verse number 3, for instance, Anna, go ahead.
Well, the Christ's objective here wasn't to escape, so he wasn't, I mean, they really had no case against him,
mm-hmm.
and Christ could have could have convinced Pilate that it was fine, but that wasn't why Christ was there.
Mm-hmm. That's
Christ
right.
was there to be crucified and die for the sins of the world.
Yes.
Well, there's what man intended, and then there's what God intended. And in these 24 hours leading up to this and going past that specific time frame by just a few hours,
mm-hmm.
there were 28 prophecies that were fulfilled within the 24 hours mm-hmm. during the 6 illegal trials
mm-hmm.
where there were 29 illegal things that happened during the 6 illegal trials. Mm-hmm. And that was that prophecy would be fulfilled that Bar Abbas, Bar meaning son of
mm-hmm.
Abba, son of the father,
mm-hmm.
son of the father, the devil, the thief, and the murderer,
mm-hmm.
which was the great exchange for any one of us.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, normally, when somebody does something bad, and somebody asks us, did you do this? Or maybe you did this. So that's an accusation. But just talking is not an accusation. Usually, it's in regard to a charge that's very serious, charge that somebody is in trouble and did you deny it? If they think you did it, did you steal that watch? That's an accusation. I mean, it's a real putting up for something they think is wrong. Yeah, Penny.
So I would say verse 2 is an accusation, don't you think?
Yes, I think so. Our other hand, in other words, it's accusing, really.
Even if it's not Pilate himself accusing, he's asking the accusation to Christ.
That's right. Then in verse 3, what did the chief priest do then? Well, we already read that.
He said many things.
Yeah. Now, what was his answer to those things?
He answered no, he said nothing.
So, there was an answer, but it was zero. Is silence an answer?
Yes.
It is an answer, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Is this an answer? I mean, somebody accused you of killing somebody, you say nothing. That's an answer. Yes, Ken.
That sort of goes along with his previous answer.
Yes.
It's like he's already decided that, I mean, Pilate is not going to understand, and it's not necessary for him to understand,
mm-hmm.
and that God already has a plan mm-hmm. for what's coming, and mm-hmm. he just wants to continue.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
mm-hmm.
that's right.
I'm just thinking of. In Proverbs, it talks about don't answer a fool in their folly.
Oh, yes. That's
right. Wow.
Oh, so, that's right. I want to know about that.
Yes. Their minds are made up, I'm sure. And in verse number 3, accused him. See, you notice the political in verse 2, the religious in verse 3, right? Political is violent, religious, chief priest. Many things. Religious things, all kinds of things. We don't know, maybe another gospel says it, but many things. And he said, he answered that absolutely nothing, just quiet. Let's read verses 4, 5, and 6 together. And Pilate asked him again, saying, answers about nothing? Behold, how many things they witness against thee. But Jesus yet answered nothing, so that Pilate marveled. Now at that feast he released unto them one prisoner, whomsoever they desired. By verse 4, what did Pilate do now? What did Pilate do now? In verse 4.
I can see he answered. They asked him, are you going to answer?
Ask him again. And then he asked him the question, aren't you going to answer? And then, what did he. He asked him to defend himself. What did he also say in verse 4, the last part of it? What did Pilate understand? Was Pilate there in the Sanhedrin? But was he there listening to this crowd in the Sanhedrin?
Yeah.
He wasn't a member, but was he there in the place? He had to be there to listen to all these things.
Yeah.
So in other words,
well,
the chief
priest... two separate places. All right, it says they carried him away and delivered him to Pilate. So it seems like they were at Pilate's place.
They were at Pilate's place. Mm-hmm. And so both of them were there, religious and political, right in the same spot. And see, Pilate heard the chief priest accuse him of many things.
Yes, but the chief priests weren't there because they couldn't go into the judgment hall because if they did, they would be defiled and couldn't eat the Passover.
But how could they accuse them of many things?
Because they would have done it in before they entered in, and the law, it's just the multitude is also there. It's not just the Sanhedrin, but the multitude is there, and the multitude will accuse them.
All right, but it says, and the chief priests. It says Pilate in verse 2, it says,
yeah, the chief priests and the scribes would not have gone into the judgment hall because it was a Gentile place and it was the day of the Passover. And they couldn't eat the Passover if they were defiled.
How do we know?
They couldn't offer the Passover sacrifice.
How do we know?
If they were defiled.
How do we know that the chief priests couldn't go to this consultation? But it says in verse 1 they had a consultation with elders, scribes, the whole council.
Right, but they themselves went not into the judgment hall that they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover.
Well, but does Pilate necessarily be in the judgment hall? Maybe somewhere else that they could go in.
Pilate went out unto them and said, what accusation bring ye against this man?
Okay. And then the chief priest accused him. All right, so they were there in close proximity, apparently.
Yes, but they weren't in because they couldn't
That's fine, but the point I'm saying is that the chief priests hear Pilate's question. And did Pilate hear the chief priest's question? Yes, Pastor Dan.
So I think they were accessible to each other.
Accessible
to each other. They were having access to each other.
And with hearing range, it must have heard something.
So it says Baal went out unto them.
Well, that's right.
So he went out of where he was, so that they wouldn't defile the law. He went out unto them to be with them.
Okay, but...
He didn't come in.
I didn't say they came in anywhere, but I just said to the chief priests, were they close by to Pilate? And Pilate went out to them, so they were together. They were together.
Yes.
Somehow, yes. That's all we're saying. Chief priests
yes.
accused of many things. And then Pilate asked him, apparently, what did Pilate ask him in verse 4? What did Pilate ask again? I think, Tammy, you already said that, didn't you? Did you answer that? I forget.
Answers thou nothing.
He didn't answer. And behold, many things they witnessed against him. So Pilate heard the chief priests accusing of many things. And so he said, many things. That. Then in verse, we had 3, 4, and 5. And verse 5, what did the Lord Jesus do then? What did he do in verse 5?
Nothing
again. Nothing. Three nothings, I guess. And what was Pilate's reaction to that?
Marvel.
What does marvel mean?
He was amazed.
Amazed, all right. He was amazed. Amazed. And then verse, we read 6, didn't we? Did we or not? Yeah, I think we read 6.
Yes, but before you get to 6,
yes.
Luke tells us that they were talking to Pilate, and they said they stirred up the people teaching throughout all Jewry, beginning from Galilee to this place. And when Pilate heard of Galilee, he asked whether the man were a Galilean. And as soon as they knew that he belonged into Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who himself also lived at Jerusalem. So between 5 and 6, he also went to Herod. And the technical term that was used when Pilate turned Jesus over to Herod was the term used in handling a criminal over to the proper judicial authority.
Okay, I haven't got the Herod yet, though, Barbara. Just verse 6. Wait till
yeah,
that's
what we do.
Okay, Tammy.
So this sort of reminds me of 1 Peter chapter
right.
2, verse 20 through 23.
Mm-hmm.
For what glory is it if when you be buffeted for your faults, you shall take it patiently? But if you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently. This is acceptable with God. For even hereunto we are called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously.
Yes, that's good. So then in verse number 6, what was true at this particular... So Pastor Dan, go ahead.
Sorry, I missed your phone call earlier a while ago. Yes, we were able to view this morning service on your YouTube. Everything seems to be working fine now for the afternoon study. Our thanks. God bless you all. Carl and Vicki.
Let's wave to Carl and Vicki out. We're waving to the state of Maine. Wave to the state of Maine. Thank you very much, Carl and Vicki. I called them to see if they were able to listen before this started. I'm very glad to see it, because Carl did call and said it wasn't working, so Pastor Dan got it repaired. So we have a real expert there, Pastor Dan. He is out. Knows what his streaming is all about. So at this feast night, what was going to happen? What was true at this particular... What was the feast, by the way?
Passover
feast. And what was to happen at this Passover feast? What was the custom here in verse number 6?
One of the prisoners would be released.
All right. At least one of the prisoners. What does the last phrase mean?
They desire?
Whosoever they desire. I mean, it's up to them. After that again.
Another, just kind of going back to our previous discussion.
Okay.
But, wow, that's a lot of roosters. I've heard guidelines anywhere from 6 to 12 hens per rooster. Our rooster, fluctuates occasionally around here, but we've had anywhere between 1 to 3 roosters in the flock of around 25. Even with just one rooster, our eggs have always been fertile, and the flock's well organized.
And who says
so
that?
Rick and Wendy.
Rick and Wendy Kosick from Wisconsin. Let's wait until Ricky Rendick goes back to Wisconsin. Thank you very much. So she must have roosters, right, then?
She does. She does.
She must have roosters. Okay. One Christian, whosoever they desire.
I have heard that twice to understand the message.
Well, do you want to read it twice? Pastor Dan?
I'll read it again just a minute. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I have to get back to it.
Thanks a lot.
I should pat that.
It's all right. I just...
Okay. I'm sorry. Read it again, so I'll read it slower this time. Wow. That's a lot of roosters. I've heard guidelines anywhere from 6 to 12 hens per rooster. So for every 6 to 12 hens, you have one rooster. Mm-hmm. Our rooster count fluctuates occasionally around here. We've always had from 1 to 3 roosters in a flock, around 25. Even with just the one rooster, our eggs have always been fertile and the flock well organized.
Good. Did you get that, Mom?
Yeah. So is it as organized as the rooster's in charge? Is that why I wonder?
I don't know. I mean, it's organized in the sense of being together. Yes.
I think it shows the beauty of God's order, how he organizes Yes, even the roosters in the flock.
We're going to stop right here. This we'll pick it up for willing next week. Probably starting at verse 6 to move on.
Here's another message.
Okay, go ahead.
From Wendy. I just wanted to share with you that Julie, my friend, has passed away. On Friday, January 6th,
2017. Friday, January 6th. That's Julie. Now, she told me that yesterday, but I forgot to announce the people, but that's too bad. Now, she had the cancer, did she?
Yes.
She had cancer. Yes, Monica.
I saw her picture on Facebook this morning. First day to greet
Julie?
Mm-hmm. Wendy put it on Facebook.
Yes. Okay.
She looks like Kristen.
Is that right? Mm-hmm. Any other comments or questions on this chapter? We're going to close down for next week. Any other comments on 14 or 15 before we close? Well, let's close in a word of prayer. Dear Father, we thank you for the scripture that we've been able to study and look over. We thank you that the Lord Jesus was faithful. He kept quiet when asked many very important questions, and they did not understand. Help us, Lord, not to be as Peter, to deny our Savior, as Peter did this 3 different times. Not only that, but the Lord Jesus prophesied this. Peter probably didn't believe it was going to happen. The Lord knew it was going to happen, and Peter thought on these things, and he wept. Help us to weep, Lord, when we deny him, or when we do that which is wrong, that which is evil. Help us to be cognizant of that and to have a feel of shame and repentance and change of mind. Thank you for our Savior that was willing to be slapped and hit and spit upon. He could have knocked them all over. He could have killed them all, but he didn't. He took it because he knew that was his Lord God of heaven and earth had sent him in this world to do. Thank you that he suffered for our sins and the sins of the whole world, that we by genuine faith in him might have everlasting life. With us and keep us and bring us back safely this Thursday for a Bible study and prayer service. We pray in Jesus' name for his sake. Amen.
I do have
Thank you for coming.
I heard from
you.
Thank you.